I can't help but think that our morning today was nothing short of biblical. In the beginning, there was darkness, and the Spirit was hovering over the waters. And then the Lord said, "Let there be Pastor Paul." Complete with his generator and gave us light. Praise the Lord. Gotta love country living. Because Lord knows, Cheryl and I do not have a generator. We're just going to go unplug. That's what's going to happen. It is always a blessing to be with you. For those of you who have your Bibles or a Bible app, we're going to the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, chapter 7. Believe it or not, that's a mural that just got painted in our neighborhood. So I want you to know, it is my theory that in the city of Toronto, there's a bunch of Jesus people out there. They just don't quite attend church yet. But that's okay. That means it's the job of the church to reap the harvest. And last I checked, I'm a Pentecostal guy, and that's who we are. We're the harvest people. And so we're praying for harvest soon. But before we get there, I just want us to spend some time in the book of Isaiah. I just want to do a little good old-fashioned Bible study with you. Is that okay? Is that okay? So we're going to do a bit of teaching. So some background of what's happening in the book of Isaiah. First, Isaiah, Israel, and the king of Judah are in a war. Okay? That is what's happening right now. What's interesting was when the nation of Israel was craving a king, God said to them, "You don't want to do this." And they said, "Why? We want to be like everyone else." But God said, "You're going to get divided, and your kings are going to be interested in ungodly things." And so, sure enough, God eventually let them have what they wanted. And then Israel and Judah are now in a war. And then point number two about the book of Judah, God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah. Now, I want you to know, sometimes being called by God doesn't mean life is easy. And the prophet Isaiah, he had a tough calling. But what was interesting was a lot of people in that time were not following God. And I want you to know that it wasn't the powerless people that weren't following God. It was the people in power. Isaiah's calling was to confront the people in power. And if you read in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 19 to 20, God actually says, "Listen, I need you to come back to me, because if you don't, it's going to be bad." Just so you know, that's not the first time God has said that. God is still saying that. If you don't follow God, it's going to be bad. Sounds good? So if you ever wonder what that is, what that sounds like, my mother is right there. She tells me many times, when you obey, you are blessed. When you disobey, you are cursed. So it also says that what God's issue with Israel wasn't so much that they just weren't turning to God, but they were forgetting what they were supposed to do. It says that God even says to the nation of Israel, this is reading from Isaiah 1, 16 to 17. He says to the nation, "Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight and stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow." If ever you're wondering what is God interested in doing in this world, I'm quite sure it's still this. Seek justice. Fight for the oppressed. Fend for them. That means that our guests last night, it was my great joy to tell them they were the most important people. Because that's actually deeply biblical. According to the scriptures, the person with the mic is the least. That means last night, I was the least important in the room, and the person in the banquet, they were the precious ones to God's sight. And if ever you have an issue with me, you probably have an issue with the Bible. Just saying. And then he also says, God is warning his people to turn back, because here's what's happening. So, you know how in our world, there's the world of politics? Yes, we all know the world of politics. You know, it's very interesting that sometimes, and believers do this too, they hang their trust in political systems, in the world political systems. And if you read your Bible carefully, God has a very clear warning against that. That God says, hey, the systems of this world, they're going to fail. Every single one of them. There is no political party that will capture the heart of God other than God being king. And so God was saying to his nation, if you don't turn to me, what's happening was the king of Judah was politically aligning themselves with another country, Babylon, Assyria. And to do that, they were adopting some of their religious practices. And that's why God was saying to them, you are worshiping other gods. But the leaders of that day, they were doing that so that they could have political clout with their neighbors, without knowing that God was saying to them, this very people that you're aligning yourselves with, they're going to make you slaves. They're going to get you. But you need to turn back. So I want you to know, there's precedence in Scripture that before we do something unwise, there's a good word, before we do something unwise, God always warns us. But it's also true that if you're really dead set on making unwise decisions, God will let you. So be careful. With me so far? Now, what happens also was God was actually trying to speak to one of the kings. The nation of Israel at that time, God figured, you know what? Those guys, they're not going to listen. So God was actually speaking to the king of Judah. And he says to him, test me. Call out for a test. And this is actually an old thing that happened before, because when Joshua was going to take over the promised land, God asked him, ask for a sign. Ask for a test. I will show you I am God. And Joshua at that time did exactly that, politically signifying that he was aligning himself with God as opposed to worldly means. Now, the king of Judah was being invited by the prophet Isaiah, do this again. And he refused. And he refused. And here's another funny point. If you are a person who knows God, you should know better. And if you don't know better, God's going to be angrier at you. Just saying. Because right after this, that's when the passage begins, a familiar passage, often misrepresented, actually. This is why I wanted to do some Bible study with you. I will read it now. This is Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, which translates as God is imminently with us. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid to rest. God was basically saying, because you refuse to align with me and give your life over to me, I'm still going to give a sign. The righteous king will come. This is why, in theology terms, we call this word Christology. This is a passage that alludes to Jesus coming, This is why in the book of Matthew, it speaks of the virgin giving birth to a son. They were basically saying, you know that early promise that God said a king will come who will rule righteously, who will live properly, who will defend the oppressed, who will live for justice. In the book of Matthew, he said, it's this kid. It's this kid. And I want you to know, this is especially important to us today. In case you haven't checked the news recently, 2017 is kind of a mess. Right? It's a mess. I don't know why. This particular year just seems to be like a big kick in the shin. And that's not just from what's happening outside the world or around us. Like, my gosh, even this past weekend, there were 7 stabbings on the west side of the city. And lots of craziness, even in our own backyard in downtown Toronto. And lots of craziness in our world. And I'm quite sure that if I talk to every single one of you, this year seems particularly oppressive for some unknown reason. Now, just like the time of Isaiah, the people had a choice. Do we align ourselves with the rest of the world to come up with worldly solutions? Or do I trust this God that invites me to live a righteous life? And righteous life, not in the sense that I sing loud and I attend church all the time. It's beyond that. It's actually just like what God said. Are you living justice in your life? Are you fighting for the oppressed? Are you for the fatherless? Are you for the widows? Because if there's one thing I do know, you know, there's many times people sometimes hear my stories, and we just say it flippantly just because it's just kind of our everyday life. And then once in a while, someone will interrupt us. Or sometimes, actually, Cheryl would say that just because I deal with crazy things some days. And she says, I can't do what you do. What's actually more true is I receive so much blessing from what I do that how could I stop? Why would I stop? Because I tell you this, just to give you a bit of a update on our ministry lives. You know, earlier this year I talked about that guy that I magically found in jail, and he was one of the first drug dealers I helped, and he wanted to get baptized. So we baptized him this August, him and along with another person. And it was kind of funny because I wanted to kick it old school. I did it outdoors in the beaches area of Toronto, and I didn't realize when you do a baptism outside, there's a lot of factors you have to think about, like not slipping on the rocks. And he was a tall guy, and it was a wavy day, and we even had to watch out for the E. coli warnings, all stuff you don't think about when you need to do baptisms in a pool. But you know, I said to him, I want you to take your time with your confession of faith. Back in the day, before someone got baptized, they had ample time to make their confession of faith. And what a poetic declaration this young man said. I'll never forget. He said, I pray that today my old self will die in this water, and that when I rise, I become a new man. And then I had to time the wave. And I said, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. Boom. I tell your friends, that felt good. I bore witness to that. And that's just because we take God seriously when he says, fight for the fatherless. He is a fatherless man. And he's a father himself now. And that was his confession of faith. And I think God was inviting his people to obey in that because God wants us to receive blessings, because I tell you, folks, it's not in my bank account that we're blessed. You know where I'm blessed? Everywhere else. I get to hear all sorts of ridiculous things. Or, you know, in our home, we lately, this particular year, I've been, the Lord has impressed upon me to give people their first Bibles. So literally, we are giving people their first Bibles in our living room. And then God never ceases to amaze me, surprises me with how he disciples better than I do. I remember literally just last week, I had a young man, he came to see me because three of them, right now it's such a blessed time. I helped three people get out of homelessness, and they're housed in the same place, and they're just down the street from us, and we're discipling all three of them. And one of them said to me, "Sorry, EJ, I'm just feeling weak right now." I said, "Oh, that's okay." And he said, "I'm fasting." I mean, "What do you mean you're fasting?" I just gave him his first Bible 2 weeks ago. It's like, "What do you mean you're fasting?" "I'm fasting." It's like, "Why are you fasting?" It's like, "Well, I'm reading that Matthew book." And there was something about fasting. So I'm cleansing my soul. Okay. So he puts his shoes and off he goes. And I go, "Well, go figure. I don't even talk." That was like number 10 on my list. Think of things to talk about. I guess the Holy Spirit's just ahead of me. Or that same young man who got baptized, as soon as he got out of jail, one of the first things he did was he turns around and counts $120 in cash and hands it to me. He says, "EJ, take this." And I go, "What do you mean? I can't take this. What is this? You just got out of jail." "No, no, I have to give you this." And I said, "Why?" I said, "I promised God I would tithe." But I said, "Dude, you just got out of jail. I think it's okay." He said, "No, I promised God I would tithe." And I tried hard to give it to him and said, "You can't rob me in this. I have to do this." "Oh, okay." I checked in with him the very next week and asked him, "So, man, how are you doing financially?" He said, "To be honest, when I gave you that money, that hurt. That hurt." And I said, "I know it did. I'm prepared to give it back." He said, nope, don't give it back." And he goes, "What do you mean?" "Well, the very next day, the welfare worker just magically wanted to give me $200 for being a good guy. I'm tithing from now on." And I go, "Oh, okay." Friends, this was like one of the last things I wanted to talk to him about, but in the scriptures it says that the work of the Holy Spirit is dynamic. In fact, in the book of Acts, the word is used dunamis. It means power that cannot be contained. And I bear witness to God's Spirit working in people's lives in our city. Even this Wednesday, I have to cast out a demon in someone's house, because those three that got housed, they found that there was a Ouija board and they destroyed it right away. And they said freaky things have been happening in the house. So in case you thought you gotta go far away to exorcise demons, you're wrong. It's happening just down the street from you. It's par for the course. Bring it on, Satan. Bring it on. Bring it on. You don't understand, friends. From time to time, when I have to preach, I get afflicted in my body. And this morning it happened. So I expected this. We're in warfare, friends. We're in warfare. And this Wednesday, we're going to war. We're going to exorcise that demon out of that place and help those three young people live full lives toward Jesus Christ. Because here's the deal, friends. Here's the deal. When God captures the heart of the oppressed, the powerless become powerful beyond measure. This is the old story happening again. When someone who was in prison becomes the second in command of everywhere. My friends, the stories of the scriptures is not ancient. It's now. It's now. I see it. We see it. We're even seeing people fasting with us. That's what we're doing, fasting with us. And I have to tell you, friends, this is all an excitement. Because we're just kind of caught up with wherever things go. If you asked me 6 months ago what my plan was for the year, I'd just go like this. I don't know. God knows. And you know, I appreciate you guys because you are part of this. You have no idea how your prayers are needed. Because as you see right now, you're physically seeing it. This is normal to us now. This is normal. I'm under attack. And I expect it. Because I'm doing damage. We're doing damage together. And you may not think that your prayers are important, but here's another story for you. Last month, a young lady was stabbed 16 times. I know her. She posted a thing on Facebook saying, "Hey, I'm not sure if I'll die if I'm going to die tonight. Please pray." And so I sent her a message, "Hey, can I send this to my army of prayer people?" She said, "Fine." And I couldn't visit her on the Friday because I was somewhere else. So I went to see her in the hospital on the Saturday. I was expecting a young lady that was beat up and lying on her bed. But when I got there, she was not in her bed. She was downstairs having a smoke. So I had to go hunt her down and said, "Hey, where'd you go?" And she said, "Man, those prayers must have been effective because I'm getting better." And she said, "I'm getting better so quick, they're going to release me tomorrow." But then she said, "I'm actually dreading that also, because the first thing she's got to do when she gets home is she's got to clean up her blood all over the place. A reminder that someone tried to take her life from the night before." And again, I was busy helping other people, so I couldn't even help her with that. But she said, "It's okay, I got some people." And I went to visit her on the Wednesday. And when I showed up in her apartment, it did not look like it was bloodstained. She worked really hard to reclaim the peace in her home. Except she says, "You know, this bed that I'm sleeping in, the only thing I couldn't replace is this. Because on the bottom side of this is my dried blood." And I was horrified by this. And so I wanted to show you this video to let you know what happens with that story. Today I'm in. No. I'm at just a local Walmart and futon mattress at the back of my car. All due to a story that was put out there. A young lady I know was attacked in her home and was stabbed 16 times. I put out a prayer request for people to just pray for her, as she wasn't sure if she was gonna make it when she was first admitted in the hospital. And that was a Thursday. When I visited her on Saturday, I expected her to be just on the bed. But when I came to their hospital bed, she actually wasn't there. She was up and about and walking. And actually credited the prayers that she received for the strength that she had And she was recovering quick enough that she was actually going to be released the very next day. You know, these are all good news, except that when I first heard about her release, she said one of the things she was dreading was she had to go clean her own place that was filled with just a disturbing scene of why she was in this hospital in the first place. And so I was able to set up an appointment with her to just visit her and see what her needs were later on. And when I came to her place on Wednesday, I found that her place was actually pretty clean, except for one thing. She told me that, you know, even though she's on welfare, there's no extra money if you just experience a tragedy. So there was no money available for her to get some new furniture, especially the ones that had evidence, or especially the parts that just were destroyed due to the assault that had happened. And so while she was talking to me, there was actually, she was sitting on a futon mattress, and she told me that on the other side, underneath it, is actually the side that was filled with her blood. And just something about this just bothered me. And so I put it out there for just some believers, fellow believers that I know, to see if they would respond. And praise God, within a few minutes, there was enough money to get her a new mattress, and now just sheets even. So concludes my funny ministry day today of running around getting furniture for this young lady. All this to say that I think this is a little glimpse of what the early church was like. And in the book of Acts, it said that the early church, no one was in need because they shared their possessions amongst one another. What an incredible day that here in the year 2017, there is still an invitation to the same calling. Just some of my thoughts. This is EJ Dupe signing off.
Thank you to the young adults at Stone Church. I'd like to say I really appreciate the fact that you guys helped me with the new mattress due to my issues. I would like to say sorry about this, but I don't really want to show my face. It doesn't look the greatest. But I would like to say thank you. It's really thoughtful. Not many people just help out people like that every day. That was pretty fast, and I wasn't expecting it. So thank you, and God bless, and many more to, you know, positive thoughts and opportunities.
Friends, her tragedy has not ended. Literally, this past Wednesday, she had her welfare money stolen from her belongings that was supposed to be her grocery money. So thank you, men, for the grocery cards you gave, because now she has food on her fridge. Literally yesterday, when I had breakfast with her, no, on Friday, I was going for breakfast with someone else, and when she sat down, she said, "I haven't eaten 2 days. Can I order something?" I said, "Of course." She couldn't even finish her breakfast because her stomach has shrunk. Now, for whatever reason, this young lady is getting beat up. But there's hope. I believe there's hope. And how blessed we feel that we're supporting her in this, and letting her know of God's good word, and praying with her, and praying that one day this will all make sense somehow. But friends, there is a sweetness to carrying this kind of heaviness. I never wonder if I'm falling asleep without purpose. And we're in this together. Because I tell you this, in our neighborhood, there's no middle class. You're either rich or you're really poor. Our new neighbors this winter will be the addicts that will come to the safety injection site and the homeless shelter down the street. And right in the midst of that, we can't afford to buy a house in our neighborhood. We're literally praying for neighbor friend with no benefactors who will just like us. That's the story of our city. But here's what's interesting. Because we take God's word seriously in loving the oppressed, our rich neighbors pay attention. Because we go beyond pity and charity. We're about compassion and transformation. Because pity is selfish. It just says, I feel bad for you, so I need to do something for you to make myself feel better. Compassion comes from a Latin word, says compassione, to struggle with. That when Jesus was filled with compassion, he felt the struggle of his people. And somehow, we get to live and step alongside of our Christ. And so don't think that your prayers are empty, because it's young ladies like her that you're praying for. I say this because today is the first day of Advent. And in this year 2017, despite it being a heavy year, there are glimpses of hope. Because I tell you this, when the prophet Isaiah proclaimed that a righteous king would come, there was no evidence to support that. The nation was in ruins. In fact, if you read later on through the book of Isaiah, everything that God said would happen did happen. Babylon did put them in captivity, and their kings did die. But God always shows up in unexpected ways. And that is the meaning of the word Emmanuel. God is imminently with us. But I don't fully understand why God functions the way that he does. He just does. I don't know why God will use a baby who will later become a man who has no political title to change the world. And yet that's what he does. And so, friends, I want to give you an encouraging word. Our God, who proclaimed this in ancient times, is still proclaiming it now. He is with us now. In the midst of the chaos, and I know that some of you are in that season. And if your burdens are not heavy, that means it's light enough to carry someone else's. And I tell you, there's great blessing. Because I tell you this, we in our house never wonder where God is in our life. Because we're in a constant place of surrender. That's the only thing smart about Cheryl and I. We're just in a constant state of surrender. Even last week we talked about, hey, where do you think this is going to go? And we're just going, I don't know. But I tell you this, even where I am now, me standing here in front of you with a microphone in my hand, this is all blessing beyond my imagination. I am not that important. I'm really not. But our God is. And I'll close with this, with telling you a little bit of my own story. I was part of a national study in Canada a couple of years ago. And it was studying Filipino youth who transitioned in Canada. And I did not realize that I am technically an anomaly. That many immigrant kids like me who moved here in this country, who were from the Philippines, many of them did not go to secondary school. And yet, and also many of them have never ended up in any leadership position. And yet here I am with you, leading other people to Christ. And yeah, I have my education, but really at the end of the day, my real education is just I'm in a constant state of surrender. I'm living proof. God can use anybody. I'm living proof that God is here with us. And it's just a question of whether you recognize it or not. We live in a world that will fight for your attention and distract you. And young people, I say this as a warning to you, especially you. This very device in my hand can be a great blessing or a great distraction from knowing Emmanuel. Harness it. Use it. Don't let it use you. Because I tell you this, I pray, and I say this in closing, I pray that people like me will just be forgotten. I want to just be an asterisk. That other people after me will do greater things. And so for you, older saints, the scriptures are quite clear on your job. You're supposed to be prophesying and dreaming dreams. No, actually, wait, I got it flipped out. The young people prophesy. The old people dream. And I know we have some seasoned saints in here, so I give you this charge. Be dreamers. That means you look to the future, not to your past. You look to your future. And young people, you're supposed to be the voice of God's prophetic word to this world. A world that doesn't make sense. And you young people are charged to be the ones who make sense. Live it. Do it. And now here's the flip side of this. When God says God is with us, it wasn't just a conceptual thing that's going to be ethereal and sitting in the heavens. When the old dream and the young prophesy, everyone will know God is here. Amen. Let's pray. Father, all of us in here are in need. And I pray, God, that this was an encouraging word. And right now, I actually just want to give an opportunity. If someone is in here who's brave enough to raise their hand, says, you know, I want in with this God. So while we're all waiting, just want to see some hands. I see that hand, brother. Thank you. And now with the rest of us, I pray that we are challenged today. But challenged from a place of sweetness. Not from shame. We are challenged to be God's hands and feet here on this earth. So Lord, I pray that the words of the prophet Isaiah would ring true in our hearts, that we would be the bringers of justice, and that we would be the ones who are living right, who want to be good, powerful people. And so, Lord, I pray for us that in this Christmas season, we become your bringers of hope. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.